gay folks who grow up in small towns can't wait to get out from under the homophobic microscope and move to the big city. That's also true for many gay Native Americans who grow up on Indian reservations. But it's not quite the same. Reservations in the Four Corners area of the Southwest seem vast, empty, but the reservations are bound together by incredibly tight-knit extended family structures. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, they all often live within a few miles of one another. Love, support, and familiarity are always close at hand. So when gay Native Americans leave home and spread their wings, for many there is always something pulling them back to the reservation. And this seems to be the case regardless of how horrible or wonderful their childhood was on the reservation.
Indians always miss home. We will travel 3 days just to get home, nonstop. I know a lot of people who do that. A lot of young people say, I'm never going to come back here. I'm never going to come back to the reservation. It holds nothing for me. And I think that's a very honest statement. Because when you're young, you don't think about those things. You don't think about connections. You don't think about how family is really important to you.
That's Sage. His home is the town of Ignacio in southwest Colorado, just south of Durango on the southern Ute Reservation. 5 years ago, he returned to the reservation for the second time since he left for college in San Francisco 30 years ago. He's in his 50s. He has pleasant memories of growing up when he knew at an early age that he was gay.
I had the usual life as a child, swimming, riding horses, hanging out with friends, my brothers, my sisters, extended family. I felt, even though I was different in my developing sexuality, I never felt removed from the entire family unit. When I was younger, my grandfather told me that as our people are walking forward, that I would always walk to the left of the people. Well, I didn't know what he meant by that. And so when I went to college in California, where I went was a hotbed of political activity, and it sort of fell into a natural process of my life that those type of politics would be become a part of my life. So I just assumed that being left meant being a leftist, which I was. Anyway, it was only after a period of time that I realized that the skills and the gifts that I had were going to definitely define what I was going to do, and that it didn't mean being to the left of in politics, but rather it meant taking a stance that might be a little different than the usual mode of thought.
Sage came of age during the early years of the gay revolution. While in school, he volunteered for Harvey Milk's campaign staff. After college, Sage began his life as a social activist. He spent 2 years on Alcatraz during the American Indian occupation of the island, where he helped open a school for Native American children. He made his way up to Washington State, where he fought for equal pay for Native American fishermen. Then he returned to the Bay Area, where he met and would eventually lose his partner. It was his partner's death in 1980 that made him return home for the first time.
Prior to that, I had been having dreams of mountains. In the last stages of his life, we went looking for those mountains, so we went to Nepal and spent the summer there. And we didn't find the mountains, but it was actually a very momentous summer because it really meant a lot. We came back to the Bay Area in the fall, and then shortly after that, my partner died and passed on to the spirit world. It was then I decided that I had to leave the Bay Area because it was nothing but a place of bad memories. In 1980, I arrived back in Colorado, and I came home and I landed on before Christmas at the La Plata County Airport. And when I got off, it had just snowed. And I looked out the window, and the mountains were covered with snow, and it was actually the La Platas that were the mountains of my dreams. I think back now, and in school, there were 12 of us who were very good friends, and we remained in contact all these years. And out of those 12, I'm the only one that's alive. And the rest of them have passed on for various reasons, but The dominating factor has always been AIDS. So when I moved from San Francisco back to Colorado, I told myself, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to make friends with anybody who has AIDS. It's too heartbreaking. It's sapping, energy sapping, both spiritually and energy-wise. But it never works out that way, because since that time, I have made numerous friends with people who have had, who were HIV positive and eventually passed on. So I'm the only one left again. But it gives you strength. That type of experience gives you strength.
Sage stayed home for 9 years. In 1989, he left the reservation for the second time, this time for Denver. It was in Denver where his lifelong work fighting for Native American rights melded for the first time with his identity as a gay man. He realized that there were very few organizations in Denver that really addressed the concerns of gay and lesbian American Indian people.
So I thought, well, we need to set up an organization that addresses that issue. Then I decided to set up an organization called the Colorado Two-Spirit Society. And the reason I called it that was because in our American Indian culture, we have groups. We have the War Mothers Club, we have a Gore Dance Society, which there are prerequisites and requirements that you must have to join this. In one of the warrior societies, you have to be a warrior. You have to come from a family that was a member of the warrior society. So I figured, well, we should have our own society, because many of the gay and lesbian Indian people have also fought battles of their own, both personal and public. So I thought that they needed a name that was reflective of that. Nahastan anila nijam.